Welcome to the Joe Fan Show with your host, Clayton Hamilton.
The sports fans, my name is Clayton Hamilton, and you're listening to the Joe Fan Show, coming to you live from fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada, the greatest city in the world, right here on the home of Vegas sports, NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. Let's check the headlines. Number 5, Ohio State defeated USC 24-7 in the Cotton Bowl last night. Buckeyes QB JT Barrett surpassed Drew Brees to obtain the top spot as the all-time Big Ten leader in offense. Sam Darnold of USC committed 3 turnovers, including a pick 6 in the loss. The New Year's 6 games continue today as number 11 Washington takes on number 9 Penn State in the Fiesta Bowl, and number 10 Miami plays number 6 Wisconsin in the Orange Bowl. In the NBA, Otto Porter Jr. scored 26 points. Bradley Beal and Kelly Oubre Jr. had 21 each, and the Washington Wizards beat the Houston Rockets 121-103 to give the Rockets their 5th straight loss. NBA scoring leader James Harden matched his season low with 20 points. In LA, playing in his first game in a month, Blake Griffin scored 24 points and Lou Williams added 23 off the bench to lead the LA Clippers to a 121-106 victory over the Lakers. And rookie Lauri Markkanen scored a career-high 32 points while Nikola Mirotic added 28. And the surging Bulls beat the Indiana Pacers 119-107 for their 3rd consecutive win. And Rafael Nadal has withdrawn from Brisbane and Sydney, citing fitness. And Novak Djokovic has withdrawn from the Qatar Open with an ongoing elbow injury. Both hope to be ready for the start of the Australian Open on January 15th. Today we have Matt Reed and Stefan Phil, y'all. This is the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. Are you fan enough?
So let's get loud and let's get proud. We got a game to play. Game on. Let's play ball. There won't be a better time to give it our all. Stand tall. Let's get it on. I know you hear that crowd. They're about to get loud. It's game on.
The Joe Fan Show is brought to you by the Las Vegas Pain Relief Center, with locations in both Henderson and on the West Side. Dr. John Petrick and his dedicated staff are committed to helping you lead a pain-free life. Visit them at lvprc.com and take the first step toward feeling great. Clayton Hamilton here on a beautiful Saturday morning in Las Vegas, going out to my good buddy in Oakland, California, Matt Reed. Welcome, Matt.
Hey, Clayton, good to be here.
Good to talk to you, my man. Hey, I don't know if you know this or not, Matt.
Yes, sir.
But your Vegas Golden Knights are 10-2 this month. They have scored points in their last 11 and have won 6 straight.
It's really unreal. I was able to catch the end of the game against the Kings the other night, and just to watch them win in overtime and break the Kings' hearts. I'm actually down in L.A. for the holidays, so I'm around all the Kings fans that thought, you know, this is their time to show that they're the top team in the division, but not so fast, right? Well, yeah, what a run. We try to keep coming up with new things every week. I don't know how you do the Golden Knights show without, you know, running out of stuff to talk about. They just keep winning. That's all they do.
It's way more fun every time that they win, because the whole new narrative is always that there's got to be another test that they haven't passed, and it's all going to fall off the wheels of the bus, and it continues to not. But what I love is every time they beat the Kings, somebody breaks their stick on the ice. Drew Doughty here in Vegas, right on the crossbar, and then Jonathan Quick last night taking it out on the bench. It was fantastic.
It really was.
I like it what John Stevens said. Alex Iafallo, he didn't play in the 3rd period, and they asked him, was he being benched or was he hurt and injured? And he said, he's not hurt.
He's not hurt. Just his feelings hurt, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, Drew Doughty also came out in the press conference and said that this is a frustrating team, but there is no way they're going to be a better team than we are this spring. So seeds of the rivalry already set next time they play. It'll be at end of February. Back-to-back nights at home and home in L.A., then here in Vegas.
Oh, that's going to be fun. I mean, you got to think that's probably the natural rivalry, right? It has to be the Kings. I know the Kings and the Ducks seem to have a little thing going, but Vegas to sneak their way right in there. I think, yeah, the Knights and the Kings.
Yeah.
Easy rivalry right there.
Yeah. I think the NHL wanted it to be Arizona, but it's going to be L.A. because nothing irritates people that work on the Strip more than when people from L.A. come here and mess up our beautiful city. So, like... That's the last thing. When you work on the strip and you meet somebody from L.A., you're just like, oh, go home. Just go home.
You give Jack and Jeff a work visa when he comes to town?
Yeah.
He gets a pass?
You know what? Jeff, though, has already given up on the Kings and has become a Golden Knight fan, as has his daughter, who's already sporting Golden Knight swag in Los Angeles.
She's a smart girl, huh?
Yep. Yeah, I didn't even started kindergarten yet. Already knows what from what. So. Good for her. Hey, did you see Sam Darnold last night in his Cleveland Brown audition? 3 turnovers. He's going to fit in great.
He will move right in. Yeah. It was like Kaiser Jr. right there. I did see him make some great throws, too. We're going to take that away from him. But, I mean, that front four for Ohio State, I mean, they could rush 3 in there getting to him every time. So as much as I'd like to pin some of that on Donald, I mean, that offensive line gave him no help. And, but like you said, that could be his debut for the Cleveland Browns, considering Rosen's already making moves not to go to Cleveland. Josh Allen from Wyoming, maybe he'll be the next guy to try to stay away from Cleveland. It's the plague, right? Avoid the plague.
Yeah, I'm okay with not having Josh Rosen. I think he's slight and is just going to be injured and throw interceptions and not be a very good quarterback. So I'm okay with that. I'd rather take a chance on Darnold or Jake Allen if I'm the Browns. But either way, the Browns will stink it up because they haven't won a game since, what was it, 2014?
Oh, man. It's just this weekend. They're not going to go 0-16, are they?
They are.
Pittsburgh, isn't Pittsburgh sitting Bell and Ben?
Yeah. They can't win.
Man.
They're Cleveland. They can't win. Silly. Silly to even think about it. So, Matt, we got a couple of bowl games today, Fiesta Bowl and the Orange Bowl. Looking forward to both of them. I think they're going to be pretty good ball games today.
Yeah, definitely. I think, I think all week we've seen some good football. And I think, this is the time of year, especially leading up into the playoffs. Yeah, Monday, obviously a big day with the playoff games. But, yeah, don't forget to tune in today. You see Lamar Jackson earlier this morning, maybe his last game with Louisville. And then, Washington, Penn State's going to be a good one. Wisconsin, Miami. If there's one team that Wisconsin, every year they seem so close to being a playoff team, and it's that one loss, usually in the Big Ten championship. But we know Miami thrives off of turnovers. I don't think Wisconsin is a team that's going to turn it over, so that's a game where I think Wisconsin handles them. Penn State, Washington, I hope we see plenty of offense in that game. I think it should be a kind of a shootout. And Saquon Barkley, your last time to see Saquon Barkley before he will be a Cleveland Brown, right?
Yeah, I know. Everybody's going to be should be a Brown.
They have enough picks. You never know.
Yeah, that's true. They do have a plenty of picks. And hopefully one of these days, Matt, it's going to turn around for the old Browns, just probably not next year or the year after or the year after that.
I'll tell you what, being a Ram fan, I fell into the same trick. And once we got rid of Jeff Fisher, look what happened. So,
well, That's sort of what I was hoping would happen, that fire Hugh Jackson and bring in Jeff Fisher, because they brought in Jeff Fisher, he could get the team prepared to be really good, and then he would just leave and somebody else would take all the credit. How did you feel about that whole Jeff Fisher thing?
That was my favorite story by far over the holiday season, was listening to Jeff Fisher, who's trying to get his way back in the NFL, take credit. Those are his players out there, right?
Yeah,
I mean he left the Rams set up perfectly. Which, I mean, if you really stop to think about it, like what does that say about you when you're trying to say that you had all the players in line there, but just didn't perform for you? I mean, that just shows what a crappy coach you were. I don't think that's a great argument for him at all.
I think he should go to the New York Giants because he has an equally ridiculous mustache as Ben McAdoo.
Just be the new trend in New York, huh? Those bad mustache coaches. I could see the Bear. The worst part is I could actually see someone giving him a chance. And for that fan base, all I want to say is I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's awful. But, hey, let's Let's look at a couple of teams that have pretty good coaches. Nick Saban and Dabo Sweeney in a rematch of the national championship game, going to play in the semifinal in the Sugar Bowl on Monday. Who do you like, Bama or Clemson?
Oh, man, the trilogy. This is going to be a good football game. I think we've seen Clemson this year, you know, other than the loss at Syracuse when the quarterback got injured. They've just been solid all season long, and they keep finding ways to get it done. I mean, the real question will be, you know, we saw what Deshaun Watson was able to do to Alabama. He tore him up in two games. Now it's up to Kelly Bryant. What can this junior quarterback come in and do against the best defense in football? If he's able to use his feet and make plays, even Nick Saban was saying he might be a better runner than Watson was, which is hard to imagine. So if he's able to make plays with his feet and keep drives alive, I think Clemson has a good shot. For me, though, I just think Alabama, you know, they're going to come in with a little chip on their shoulder. Yeah, they were able to get into the playoff. They're kind of looked at as the underdog. I just see them, you know, coming in and being able to control the ball. And if their defense does get stops, you know, when they do and keys when they need to in key situations, I just see them being a little too much for Clemson today. So I think a good low scoring close football game, but I would give it to Alabama.
I say the reason that Alabama wins is one guy, Alex Spence.
Go for it.
Alex Spence, the kicker for Clemson. I don't think he's that good. He's only 7 of 12 on attempts of on field goal attempts, 41 of 43 for extra points. And I feel like they're going to need every point they can get, and two missed field goals is going to undo Clemson.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you can't leave points on the board in this game at all. And we've seen it, especially in college. I mean, imagine how many bad NFL kickers there are. And now we're talking college where you have, you know, 115, 118 teams. And kickers, you know, it comes down to kickers. I've seen so many games this bowl season where teams refuse to kick a 40-yard field goal. You got to think, if you can't make a 40-yard field goal, I mean, what are you doing? But a lot of these teams, yeah, they don't have kickers that can make kicks. And, you know, like you said, Spence has struggled. So, you can't leave points on the board. Special teams could end up being a huge factor. But also, for Alabama, Jalen Hurts has to perform. You know, his worst game of the year was a loss to Auburn, and he's 12 for 22 for 112 yards. You can't have another one of those performances against the Clemson defense that can still buzz around the field. So Jalen Hurts has to step up and make plays if this team, you know, this team is going to win.
And I'd like to see, if Alabama's going to move the ball, go back to some of the short passing game, because it seems like sometimes they get in a bit of a rut that it's either Jalen Hurts running the ball or it's the bomb. And you don't really see that little 8-yard hitch much out of him.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I think that comes down to a couple things. One, I think, you know, when he does get pressure, is his first thought is just to tuck and run, which happens a lot. Two, you know, they're going for that big play. It seems to be the thing that I've seen a lot of young quarterbacks, and even in the NFL, it's either, you know, yeah, throw the bomb or tuck and run, and the intermediate routes aren't being used well, so they have to go back to that, and they have to be able to move the ball, like you said, with just, you know, a little 8-yard hitch or whatever you're going to run there. So but his accuracy comes into play in that, and that's the question we always have with JT Barrett, was his accuracy, and I think throughout his whole career there are questions about it. Well, Jalen Hurts is the same question mark. He's got to be able to be accurate, and who knows, you know, maybe he can't really make that throw very well, so that's the reason they don't run a lot of that. But like you said, if they can use the whole route tree and move the football, you know, through the air, they're going to be okay.
Is it finally time in the Rose Bowl that Sony Michel and Nick Chubb and this Georgia team that seems oh so close finally gets over the hump?
Yeah, it is, and I know a lot of people are thinking Oklahoma, you know, that big offense that the, you know, Baker Mayfield's just going to lead them up and down the field, and that's all fine and dandy in the Big 12, but there's not a lot of defense played. I think TCU is the best defense, and you know, we saw TCU in their bowl game give up a ton of points, still, you know, find a way to come out on top. But Georgia, so their defense is stout. They're tough. I mean, you're talking about the number four defense in the land, and really, I mean, it comes down to them. You know, if they can keep the ball away from Baker Mayfield, which they will with this running game, it's going to be tough for Oklahoma to really find a rhythm, I think. So, yeah, Chubb, Michelle, DeAndre Swift, I mean, that's a three-headed attack, and you know Georgia's going to pound, and you know, play SEC football rather than spread it out and get into a shootout with Oklahoma.
Yeah, I think that's going to be time of possession and hold on to the ball if you're Georgia. I do like them in this game. Clayton Hamilton and Matt Reed, Joe Fanshow, NBC Sports Radio. And Matt, let's switch to the NFL. We all know that D-Day's coming, firing and pink slips and whatnot for coaches come Monday, Tuesday of next week. But the Buccaneers have come out and said they're going to keep Dirk Cutter despite a lackluster season this season, especially with so much hype going into surrounding the Buccaneers. They decided to extend, not to extend him, but to keep him around. Do you like the decision that the Buccaneers are finally going to make it to the third year of a head coach?
I mean, for continuity reasons, it makes sense. But I thought they would at least explore their options in the offseason before coming out and giving him that vote of confidence. It must mean that John Gruden turned them down, because there are rumors that Gruden is looking to put a staff together, and it looked like Tampa Bay was the spot. He's coming back, and he must have thought otherwise, because I think if he really was going to come back, I think Tampa was the spot, and I think they would have easily got rid of Cutter for that reason, especially because there's been a lot of talk about Jameis Winston and Cutter not having the best relationship and not seeing your quarterback evolve the way you wanted to, thinking especially him and Mariota. I know the thoughts were high on those two coming in this year, and they both underperformed. But, I mean, they've had a lot of injuries. The defense is banged up. You know, they missed Doug Martin the first three games because of the suspension. Jameis hasn't performed as well, got hurt. It seems like a lost season, so maybe there is a chance, you know, Cutter turns it around next year, but I would have explored my options in the offseason before giving that vote of confidence.
Jameis Winston said everybody has their different characteristics, but at the end of the day, we all love each other. Who would have thought it was Jameis Winston going to try and bring everyone together?
That's right. Watching Hard Knocks and then seeing, you know, at least he tries to be a leader, and he's trying to do the right things. And yes, maybe the guys haven't rallied around him like you think they should have. But for Jameis to be the voice of reason or the voice of love there, I mean maybe someone has to do it. I just don't think Cutter's not a guy for me. I like my head coach to be fiery, to really get after it. I mean, we see Belichick. He's not fiery on the sidelines, but you see him in press conferences. You see him in practice. You see him, you know, in film room. He's a fiery guy. But Rams, McVay comes in, a young kid, but he's got that fire inside him. Dirk Cutter just doesn't do it for me. So, yeah, but bad move. The more I think, now you got me riled up, Clayton. Bad move. Keeping Dirk Cutter around.
I feel like with Cutter and with Winston is that, like you're right, Cutter seems to be like he's the cerebral guy. It's just that he wants to be the smartest guy in the room, but he's not. And Jameis Winston wants to be a leader, but he's not. And sometimes, even if you do your best, there are times when your best just isn't good enough. Like I've said it before, I'll say it again, just because you're Miss West Virginia doesn't automatically make you pretty. It's the same thing with this, is that just because you're the smartest guy in the room doesn't necessarily mean you're all that smart.
Yeah, well, 100%. I love your analogy there. But, and he might fall into the realm of he might be the guy that's a good offensive coordinator, bad head coach. And there's plenty of those out there, and there's nothing wrong with that. Just, yeah, he shouldn't be running the team.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see how they bounce back, but you got to think if the playoffs aren't in order next year, no more Dirk Cutter, and they may even start to make explorations as to another quarterback other than Jameis Winston. When we come back, Stephon Phil, y'all going to join us, talk a little college hoops. This is the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. And welcome back to the Joe Fan Show. Clayton Hamilton here in Las Vegas. Matt Reed in Oakland, California, getting ready to be joined by NBA insider and part-time college scout, Stephon Phil, y'all in the house. Welcome, Stephon.
Hey, what's up? It's good to be here.
I know. It's so early for you.
It is. Yeah, I gotta just put my mama mentality on, man.
Just stop going to bed when you're wrapping your day up at 4:30. Just hang out, just get a cup of coffee. And
I kind of did. I mean, I just did not sleep last night. It's all right.
Nice. Hey, Matt. You know, if there's ever a day for picture in picture on your television screen, it is today, because you got those two New Year's Six bowls, but then you've also got some pretty good college hoops today.
Hoop dreams.
Duke and Florida State and Oklahoma TCU, and two of the most talked about college players in action today. We will start with Duke and Marvin Bagley Jr. What have you seen out of him thus far? His 20 points a game, 5.5 rebounds, that says this guy's going to be a good pro, or this guy's going to be a bust?
Just to me or Matt?
You. I'm sorry, you.
Okay. Marvin Bagley, he's definitely pure athleticism. I mean, this guy can run like a gazelle. He can jump out the gym. He's a pogo stick. What I mean by that is he'll take a shot attempt, and he's right back up immediately. And so it's tough to keep him off the boards. But at the same time, he's pretty easy to contain. I mean, if you ask me, because I just see him throwing up wild shots. He has no fundamentals. I just would not count on this guy to go get a bucket for me. A lot of his stats come off of his offensive rebounding by just throwing it up and going and get it. And so for me, I'm not really too impressed by that, because a lot of that gets eliminated once you get into the NBA, because you got guys that are bigger, you got guys that are jumping just as high as you, if not higher. Guys are more fundamentally sound, and they specialize in things in NBA, and you're going to get boxed out.
He certainly does at times, Matt, have a little bit of first-year Clipper Blake Griffin, head down, no real plan when he goes to the rim.
Yeah, I could see that, and that's kind of a young man's move. He's always in high school, able to power through anyone and get to the rim whenever he wants, and he is going to have to find a way to change that. But I think Blake did find a way to change, and I think Bagley will too. I mean, like Stephon said, this guy's got all the tools, and especially the physical ability. I mean, he jumps out of the gym. I think he's good around the basket, and I think he has improved since the start of the season. If you look at his field goal percentage, I mean, he's up to 61% around the rim, which, you know, that's all you can ask for. He doesn't really shoot the three very well. He's 34%. He doesn't take very many of them, and his free throw shooting maybe needs to improve at the next level. But, I mean, there's guys with ability, and then there's guys with rare talent, and he's one of the rare talents. And, Duke kind of backed into him last minute, and it's made Duke as good as they are. I think without him, you know, Duke is still obviously a great team, but he might put them over the top when it comes to win a championship this year.
Let's not forget, Stephon, he's got a guy like Grayson Allen to teach him how to be a pro.
Well, to be honest, to give Grayson Allen a little bit of credit, I mean, he does kind of keep that team under composure for his final year, his senior year. He kind of gets those guys in places where they need to be. They throw it down to Bagley a lot. I mean, he has this little baseline turnaround hook over the right shoulder because he's a lefty, but yeah, I'm just not convinced. I was a little surprised at his 3-point ability, but I mean, that's just the way big guys are going these days, I have to see more. I'm not encouraged going, like, once tournament time comes for me. Because guys, I mean, you know, the game slows down. It gets tighter, and you're gonna have to be more efficient.
I sort of feel that way too when I see Duke play, Matt. That I don't see Bagley taking over and being as noticeable as I wanted him to be. Like last night, I definitely noticed Mohamed Bamba when Texas plays and the things that he can do, and I don't feel that way about Bagley.
I think that's too. That's because they do have guys like Brace now and then and other guys that kind of take away from that. I think if he was on a team where he was definitely the number one, I think you would see a lot more from him in that aspect. With him being on Duke, he's not going to stand out like that. Believe me, come tournament time, come NBA time, he will be a standout. I think he just has too many tools not to be.
I think it's tough too, just because. Duke, I mean, they've got a lot of athletic guys. It kind of looked like Kentucky in a way, where in past years, mm-hmm. whereas they've just got long guys
right
all over their team. Yeah.
Well, a guy that everybody is falling in love with, Stephon, is Trae Young out of Oklahoma, 28.7 points per game, 10.4 assists. Everyone calling him the next coming of Steph Curry, but better. How do we feel about Trae Young and Oklahoma?
I don't think he has the court vision as Steph Curry does. I mean, even though I believe a game he had like 22 and 22 or something like that. Yeah, he's definitely got the quick trigger and the quick feet for sure. I love his stop and go when he's going to the basket. He's got really good balance and control when he's switching gears. Going to the basket, whether he pulls it out or not. And I watched him in his shot. He shoots on the up dribble. And what I mean by that is he'll lull you to sleep. You won't really know when he's going to pull up because in mid-dribble, and he dribbles with his right. He'll pull up a lot when he's dribbling with his right hand. And that's a little more difficult. Well, for me, when I was playing, just because of my rhythm, I like feeling the ball in my left hand and pulling up with my right because it helps me create space. When you're dribbling with your right hand and in the up dribble, you just go up in one motion. That's probably the quickest release that you're going to get. And he does it like flawlessly, and he does it from deep. And so that's what's really dangerous about this kid, and he can get inside. And he does look for his teammates. I just don't think he has the court vision that Steph Curry did at Davidson.
Well, maybe if he wins a Big 12 championship, Matt, or a national championship, he can get Kevin Durant to come back to school and he can run with him there.
Yeah, that'd be some. There's just not enough to say about this kid, especially in the big games they play this year. I mean, they're two ranked opponents, USC, Wichita State. He had 29 in each game with 10 dimes, and he just makes plays. And we see Oklahoma in the last two games scored over 100 points. Well, when have we seen Oklahoma, be an offensive powerhouse? And I think he's just a catalyst for them. And like Stephon said, I mean, he had 26 points, 22 assists one game. 31 points, 12 assists the last game against Northwestern. And he's going to be tested today. TCU's a good basketball team. And I think, the Big 12's a tough conference. So we're going to see, how he makes it through conference. But, I mean, this kid is phenomenal, and, it's just a joy to watch.
TCU is going to be a great test for him, not only him, but for that team. Because, I mean, they like to shoot from three, but they're composed. I call them like half court zone busters because they've got shooters all around that mm-hmm. arc, and that's where I feel like that's where Trae Young and his team is gonna have to keep their composure and not try to outshoot TCU because they will lose. One of the things is Trae Young, when he gets to the basket, he gets fouled a lot and he hits his free throws. And that's going to be big too, especially if TCU plays that half court game. They're going to have to get out and push. And as Matt said, they run up the scoreboard. So that's going to be very important for them.
Yeah, Matt, you can say all you want nationally about the ACC and the Big East and the SEC and the Big Ten and all those, but, man, there ain't nothing better recently than Big 12 basketball, and it's going to be another great season. I don't know if you caught any of the Kansas-Texas game last night. It was nip and tuck the whole night. Oklahoma State-West Virginia, what a basketball game that was.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't catch any of them, but just reading up on it, yeah. I mean, that's night in and night out in the Big 12, and like you said, I mean, we're in store for really a good, great college basketball run. So yeah, once these football games are over, make sure to click over and start watching some hoops.
Yeah, again, looking forward to that. I'll be dialed in Oklahoma TCU today. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little Cleveland Cavaliers. They are nearing the return of Isaiah Thomas. Lots going on for the Cavs. We'll dive into that on the other side of the break. This is the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio 920, The Game. Joe Fan Show is brought to you by the Las Vegas Pain Relief Center, with locations in both Henderson and on the West Side. Dr. John Petrick and his dedicated staff are committed to helping you lead a pain-free life. Visit them at lvprc.com and take the first step toward a feeling great. Clayton Hamilton and Stefan Phil, y'all here in beautiful Las Vegas, out in California, I guess down in L.A. today, right, Matt?
Yes, sir, yeah. It's you know, I had to wear a jacket last night. I got down to about 68.
Oh,
so
no.
For all our friends on the East Coast, you know, I'm struggling just like you guys are.
Oh, no.
I know, but the one good thing, and there's not a lot of good things about being in Southern California, but the one good thing is you can go out for a turkey, egg, and cheese, and avocado burrito.
What?
You can get that here at Roberto's.
That's like a staple in Manhattan Beach, right? You go for the turkey, avocado, and cheese.
Well, man, I'll be out there Tuesday, bro. So you're telling me
out to La La Land, that boy.
Oh gosh! All right. Well, I'll bring my winter jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Get some Uggs and a scarf. It'd be great. You can go
Could
around.
You imagine Uggs? Yeah. Oh my god!
You go around. What is that? Was that shopping center that they make you pay to park at? What is that? The Plaza.
Grove.
Everywhere.
Mario Lopez does the e-show from wherever nonsense is.
The Grove.
God, I hate Los Angeles. So let's go and talk a little bit about the old Cleveland Cavaliers. They made the big splash in the offseason. They got Isaiah Thomas for Kyrie Irving. He was active on Friday, participating in a full court scrimmage against Cavs teammates for the first time since he was acquired. He will not play in today's game against the Utah Jazz, Tyronn Lue said, but he's getting close. What's this going to do to the old Cleveland Cavaliers now that Derrick Rose decided he wants to play basketball again, and so they don't have to, they got to worry about roster spots?
You know, I think he's going to, I mean, he can only be positive for that team. It's another ball handler who can create off the dribble. He's going to have to play off the ball a lot, but I imagine that he has been practicing that during his rehab for his injury and in scrimmages with the team. Because, you know, LeBron's going to have the ball in his hands. It's going to move Jose Calderon to the bench, which will be great, because it'll bring stabilization to that bench and another level of creation. So, I mean, it can only be positive. I don't really see any problems with them.
Will Isaiah Thomas, Matt, be allowed to wear a headband? Because that's kind of LeBron's thing.
Yeah, I think he'll give up that for Isaiah, because Isaiah is going to bring some much needed help that he hasn't had so far this season. I mean, Stephon, we're talking about Calderon as your starting point guard, or Derrick Rose as your starting point guard. I mean, that doesn't offer much help, especially on the defensive end. So, I mean, Isaiah's not going to give you defense, but he'll give you plenty of offense, but he'll just be a spark. And, you know, sometimes you get in the lulls in the season and you need some new energy, and he's definitely be some new energy that'll kind of get Cleveland back on track, I think.
And think about it, when LeBron's not out there, you can still have Isaiah out there, which would be good too. And you know, he'll be able to roam free like he used to in Boston.
And
and he scores in bunches too, which that's something that they're not getting off the bench either.
And he penetrates a lot too, so that certainly helps Kyle Korver. It helps J.R. Smith. Mm-hmm. It helps those guys as well.
Kevin Love.
And we saw when they played Golden State on Christmas, and that's sort of a measuring stick for them, because everything they do is with the intent of trying to beat Golden State in the final. And what did you learn about Cleveland in that loss?
That they've got grit. They still got it. That they'll still fight. I mean, I feel like I feel like maybe a couple moves here and there, here or there. I feel like Tristan Thompson isn't as effective as they as he used to be. So I don't know if they go for another another shooter or a big just to have a bigger presence in the paint. But man, that the end of that game is what really irked me, to be honest, because they had a chance to win that game, and the officiating has been horrendous this year, and that's across the board with just big games coming down to big moments and officials just failing everybody. And I mean, I feel like it's unacceptable, and players now are starting to speak out. Luke Walton finally said something the other day, because our players, well, the Lakers are getting creamed. Giannis Antetokounmpo, I'm sorry, I'm getting off tangent here, but I mean, the NBA has to do something about it, and it has to do, they have to do something about it before the playoffs. Like, I don't want to watch this up to the playoffs where it's trash officiating and teams are losing big games, and then it completely messes up the playoff position.
But they have done something about it. They apologize every day. The next day, they're like, "But dude, I'm sorry."
And that's the thing, man. That these things have to be fixed. Like, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know what to say anymore. It's just gotten to a whole nother level from where we thought it was before, and I don't know. It's hard to watch.
I mean, are you saying you can't rake the guy across the arms to jar the ball loose? Is that what you're saying?
Man,
as much as I love watching Golden State beat Cleveland, I mean, that was a great play by Durant.
That's cool. Oh man, but did you catch his bite?
Twice.
Did you catch his sound bite though? Afterwards, he said, "I was testing my theory, and I was right." Like, the league thinks he is the big man on campus now. I feel like that's his theory that he's testing. He's like, "I'm getting these calls. I beat LeBron James last year in the finals. It's my league now." And I feel like that's what he was going after. That's what the league is telling me right now, because he's not getting those foul calls that he was getting. I mean, I'm seeing him play other teams and it's the same thing. And so, he's untouchable right now. I mean, you look at James Harden. James Harden, finally, he got his two calls against Boston, which were absolutely correct. And he complained about it, even though he shot more free throws than the other team combined. And his stuff is just ridiculous. But like Kevin Durant, I see what he's doing. Like, he's not dumb. He knows what's going on, and he's going to take advantage of it. I mean, I can't really blame him.
Is Stephon, is that a hot take rant, or is there validity to Stephon this morning, Matt?
I mean, unfortunately for the NBA, there's a lot of validity to it. I mean, we're seeing a lot of night in and night out guys complaining about calls and the game situations, calls either being made or not being made. And believe me, I think officiating is a tough job. If you've ever tried to officiate, I tried to officiate little kids' games back in the day, and you think it's easy, but you're not going to see everything. But what bothered me the other night was, and the game escapes me. It might have been a Houston game. There was only two officials. One official hurts his back in pregame warmups, right? So now you're down to two officials. How do they not have a backup official there? Because you can't call an NBA game with two officials. There's too much going on.
How do you do that? I mean, like, there should always be an additional official at a game. I mean, I thought that's what happened. I thought that was, like, protocol to have an additional official during a game because you never know what happens. These guys run up and down the court. They get hit. You just don't know. And two officials – yeah, that's unacceptable, but it wasn't as bad as Giannis Antetokounmpo traveling and walking out of bounds in front of the baseline referee and no call being made.
Well, we all know you can only travel if you're doing a pump fake beyond the 3-point line.
Maybe
that's,
you just
that's
need
like the only way. If you pump fake and drive, that's a travel. But
no,
everything else not.
Maybe you just so need much. A shoe deal or a special sponsor. Or I don't know. It's your name has to be big enough to where you can just you get travel miles, like Sky Miles.
That would actually be great. Like Travelers Insurance sponsors the travel, so every time they call one, they would actually call it.
Yeah,
that would be.
I don't know if they would get their money's worth though, huh?
Yeah, maybe they can wear the little umbrella on the official's uniform. Giannis can sell advertising.
Giannis and Harden would be the faces of that of that sponsor for sure.
They would. Real quick here, let's get back to the Cavs. I guess my question is, there's all this focus of them towards what do we need to beat Golden State, but do they need to be worried about Boston and Toronto instead?
I feel like Boston has come back to earth. they're not as scary as they were before. I still think they need a big with Horford down there. Toronto is quietly winning a lot of games. They're kind of like the San Antonio Spurs East right now. Not in the style of play, but just in productivity and flying under the radar. I don't think they're really going to do anything come playoff time, though. I think they're going to be the same old Toronto Raptors, and I think that's why they're flying under the radar, because they're like, oh, they're good, but how good are they really? I think the Celtics have an upper hand on them just because of Kyrie Irving, and he can take over a game by himself. So, not really. I think Cleveland's sitting pretty comfortable right now.
I think, Matt, that Toronto's flying under the radar because all the Canadians are sad that Team USA beat them in the World Juniors in hockey yesterday.
I watched that yesterday.
And so they haven't even realized that the Raptors are playing yet. But this Raptor team, like Stefan says, sneaky good.
Yeah, it's such a bummer, too, because I really like the Raptors, and every year I think they're going to make a run, and then they do just fall apart in the playoffs. And, you know, it's Lowry, DeRozan, and you got to get some from Valanciunas. I tell you, Serge Ibaka has stepped up this year. I think especially offensively his game has improved, where he could be the guy that maybe, you know, I know he came in last year, but with a full year there, he could be the difference maker. But I think if they can go out and get, I mean, they tried going out and getting a guy like Tamari Carroll, who never really gave them much last year. If they can go out and get a guy who can come in, be a defensive stopper, but also add some offense, because P.J. Tucker and Carroll weren't those guys last year. They might have a chance in the East, but, yeah, they fall apart too much.
Yeah, I think PJ is with the Rockets this year.
He's with the Rockets, yeah. But last year it was Tucker and Carroll were the two guys there, and couldn't get it done.
Yeah, they lost a lot of help with that 3-and-D. I mean, I feel like they're probably a wing 3-and-D wing away from being a little. It'll definitely help. but DeMar DeRozan, I mean, he's definitely stepped up and extended his range to be more efficient from the three-point line, because we always knew him to be a inside presence and a mid-range jump shooter. And so I think that's going to definitely help them with spreading the floor, and Serge Ibaka is going to be able to hit more open shots because he's feeling more comfortable in that system.
Anybody else stand out in the East that could present Toronto, Boston, Cleveland with a first round of problem? You look at Miami or Indiana or Detroit.
Detroit's going to be physical with anybody they play with. Tobias Harris has had a really good year so far. We'll see what they can do. Andre Drummond is kind of pleading with them. The Sixers are going to give some guys some tough games. I mean, I don't expect them to win, but they'll be competitive, and they'll ruffle some feathers down there. Who else?
The Bucks.
Washington.
The Bucks. The Bucks. Because Giannis, and then you got Bledsoe showing up.
Look what Washington does against good teams. They show up and they beat good teams. Against bad teams, they play down their competition. Washington's going to give someone trouble.
That's going to get them in trouble, though.
They gave the Rockets trouble last night. So
they run too much. They go ISO too much in pressure situations, which doesn't make me feel comfortable.
Yeah, but they played great last night on the night that John Wall, not as much a factor as everybody else, so that's a good sign. Maybe they'll make that deal and bring in Boogie Cousins, and we'll all be happy
in
Washington. When we come back, it's going to be a little Q&A time. This is the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. It's time for Q&A. Remember, if you would like to send us a question, just email us to submissions@JoeFanShow or tweet us @JoeFanShow or tweet me personally @Clayton_JoeFan. Clayton Hamilton along with Stefan Phil, y'all here in Las Vegas. Matt Reed out in Los Angeles today. Let's take a quick look at the mailbag. Jimmy in Kingman, Arizona asks, at the end of the basketball season, will Arizona State still be ranked higher than Arizona? Hashtag a territorial cup.
Yeah, this Arizona State team is good. They average almost 92 points a game. We'll find out today. They go to Arizona, so, you know, start out the Pac-12, and we'll see how they perform. But I like this Arizona State team. Bobby Hurley has them playing well, and I think in any year, they are ranked above Arizona. I think they win the Pac-12.
Yeah, and I think the win against Kentucky kind of helped. I feel like they're gonna be ranked higher than Arizona, but come tournament time, I'm betting on the Arizona Wildcats.
I gotta say that I don't know what happened to Arizona in the Bahamas, but that was an aberration, and I think it really solidified this team and got them back together. And Alonzo Trier is just too good, and Arizona State's just a little bit too unproven to me. Mm. So I'm going to go Arizona by the end of the season, although they may not win today. Ty in Las Vegas asks, what fight are you most hoping happens in 2018? Hashtag King of the Ring.
Well, a good friend of the show and one that we talk about a lot, Deontay Wilder. We've been waiting for a good Wilder fight for so long. We've been waiting for a good heavyweight fight for so long. And I think there's fights for Wilder this year. The one I would most like to see would be Tyson Fury. He's on the comeback trail. When he's healthy and when he's good, he's one of the top heavyweights out there. I think that would be a great fight. Anthony Joshua, give me someone that Wilder will fight that's going to be a show. Fury's number one for me, followed by Joshua.
Yeah, I tend to any fight that I'm interested in tends to be a heavyweight, but I'm going to go with Vasyl Lomachenko and Mikey Garcia. I like that challenge only because of Vasyl's hand speed and his footwork. And his power, I don't think Mikey Garcia would be able to handle it, but his record stands up against Vasyl.
I am with you, Matt. I want to see Wilder Joshua. That's the fight that I really want, but I will take Wilder Fury, even though, Matt, Tyson Fury said of Deontay Wilder, "You're a bum. You're a bum. What do you think about that? What do you think about that?"
That's straight from Batman's mouth, huh?
Yeah, exactly. There's only one Tyson Fury. You're a bum.
Hey, that's a great soundbite, man.
Yeah, that's great.
How'd you get that?
That was fantastic. Tyson Fury is a
dear friend of yours.
He's a jabroni, that's for sure. Paulie in Lake Las Vegas asks, do you think the new Islanders arena will be good or bad for racing at Belmont Park? Hashtag pucks and ponies.
Oh, it's going to be great. Nothing better than going out, catching the late double, and then over to the arena for a hockey game. I think, you know, they're going to build that area up, the restaurants, everything. It's going to be great for racing. And if you've ever been to the old Belmont Park, great, but definitely need some work. This will be, you know, to have some work and have some stuff around it will be great for racing.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I feel like it'd only be a positive move. Go ahead and see some racing during the day and see some hockey at night.
You know, Matt, I am for anything that helps horse racing, and I love Big Sandy. Have you been to Belmont Park?
Yeah, I was there, unfortunately, when California Chrome was going for the Triple Crown and fell a little short.
Yeah, I love it there. The only thing that I don't like about it is it's a little difficult to get to in that it takes a while if you take the train, and if you don't have a car, it's not so bad to get there, but it does take a little bit of time on the train. But I really look forward to seeing what that will do. I like that idea. I like it. a lot.
Well, I mean, the Islanders will be going back closer to home,
right?
And then you bring in fans. I mean, they'll have something to do during the day to lead them going into a night game.
Yeah, I think also too with all the infrastructure that it will help create, that will be a fantastic. So, hey, Matt, real quick, yeah. Before we run, any preps coming up before the Pegasus?
We had prep this last week and collected, ran at Santa Anita for the Pegasus and ran it like a prep. It didn't really show his best, and I think they're holding him back for it. So we have collected, and then the big one will be Gunrunner. We've got to beat Gunrunner.
Sounds good. You've been listening to the Joe Fan Show. We'll see you again next week. For Matt and Stefan, this has been Clayton. Enjoy the games.